Matthew Bible is 9:55. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thank you.
I've preached about 4 sermons now on Elijah. This is going to be another Elijah. But I want your help at the beginning. I want to do a little quiz. So, got a couple questions here. About 5. 5 question quiz. I'm stealing a page out of Frieza's book here. So, I'm going to want your responses. Where did Elijah go after he told King Ahab there was going to be a famine? The Brook Cherith. Good. It's not hard. See? What is the name of the mountain where Elijah had a showdown with the prophets of Baal? Mount Carmel. Good. Good. This one's a little tougher. Name the 3 things that Elijah saw in order before God spoke to him in a still small voice. Any thoughts? Do we know the 3 things? Whirlwind, earthquake, and fire. And that's actually the correct order. Okay. Name the man that Ahab and Jezebel had killed to get a vineyard. This was the last one. Naboth? Is that what you said? Naboth. That's also correct. Now, this 5th one question is about today's sermon. So you haven't heard it yet. So here we go. How many times did Elijah call fire down from heaven? Any thoughts here? Speak up. I see some fingers over there. I see them over here. We think it's 3. I hear, that's what I hear. Well, the answer to that comes in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 1. And we'll get there. But our last sermon was about 1 Kings, chapter 21. So we have a 1 Kings, chapter 22 that doesn't talk about Elijah. So let me give you a brief history on this book. Or this chapter, excuse me. It's a story about a battle. The battle, Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah at the time. They had an alliance going. In fact, they had such an alliance that Ahab named one of his sons Jeroboam or Joram. I've got them mixed up here. They're so close. After the son of Ahab named one of his sons the same as one of the sons of Jehoshaphat. And that name is Joram. Jehoram. There we go. Let's not slaughter it. Let's get it right. So they joined together and decided that they were going to try to conquer the town of Ramoth Gilead, which Ben-Hadad, if you remember a couple weeks ago, had tried to conquer Ahab, and they had some other fighting. Well, he said, I'm going to give the land back. Ben-Hadad did, but he hadn't given back Ramoth Gilead, and that was what he was supposed to give back. Well, he didn't do it. So they're going to go attack it. They're going to take it back because it's Israel's land. So Jehoshaphat tells Ahab, he says, well, why don't we talk to the prophets? Is there any prophet that we can counsel and see if whether or not we should do this? So Ahab goes, sure. So they bring 400 prophets. Now these are obviously not the 400 prophets of Baal that Elijah had killed, but 400 prophets. Now, not necessarily prophets of God, but prophets. No. And so they said, yes, go out. And they talked to him one at a time. And they all said, yes, go take it. You're going to win. Now, Jehoshaphat seemed to be a pretty smart king. And he said, is there a prophet of God that we can, of Jehovah, the Lord God, that we can call? And Ahab said, sure, there's a guy. And his name is Micaiah. They didn't call Elijah. They said, his name is Micaiah. Ahab says, but I don't like him. He always prophesies bad about me. So they call him. But the messenger said, now all the other prophets have said good that we should do this. You should get in line. You know, follow what they say. Well, Micaiah comes and he tells Ahab that if you go do this, you're going to die. But Ahab decides to do it anyway. He goes, and they said, well, I'm going to be smart about it. I'm going to disguise myself as just a common soldier. And so Jehoshaphat is in the chariot, and all the people, all the Syrians who they were fighting, see Jehoshaphat, and they go, well, that's the king of Israel. So they start running after him, targeting him. And he starts running away and says, he says something or hollers, and they realize it's not Ahab. So they leave him alone. And it says, a certain man drew a bow at random, and the arrow struck Ahab between the plates of his armor. And so his chariot took him out, and he propped up on a hill, and he died propped up, overlooking the battle. He died in his chariot. And if you remember, Elijah prophesied that after Naboth, that the dogs would lick the blood of Ahab. Well, when they washed out his chariot, the dogs were there doing what they do and cleaning up the blood. So the prophecy has come true that Ahab's blood would be cleaned up by the dogs. And so Ahab dies, and we have a new king. And let's look in your Bibles at 1 Kings for a minute. 1 Kings 22, verses 51 through 53. And this is the lead-in to today's sermon here, to today's passage. 51 and following. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did well in the sight of the Lord. Is that what it says? He did evil in the sight of the Lord. And walked in the ways of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin. For he served Baal and worshipped him and provoked the Lord God of anger, of Israel to anger, according to all that his father had done. So we have a new king, and he's just as bad as his father. Didn't learn anything from his father. Now, we'll find out in today's sermon, or today's passage, that he knew Elijah. He knew what he looked like, even. But he still wouldn't follow him. Wouldn't follow God. Before we get into any further into today's study, Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your guidance and for your word, that we can learn from others before us. Father, bless us now as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we open to 2 Kings, it starts with these words. Well, no, let me back up. Let me give you a brief history of today's story, a brief overview of today's story. So today's story, well, I'll give you a brief overview, and then we'll go through it verse by verse and see what else we can glean out of it. Summary of the story. Ahaziah is king, and he falls through a lattice and is wounded. And so he's recovering, and he decides to, he wants counsel from a god as to whether or not he's going to live. And so he decides to send a messenger to Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron. And so the messengers leave, and they don't get very far away, and Elijah meets them and says, Ahaziah is going to die. He's not going to recover. So they take it and they go back. Ahaziah goes, how are you back so soon? He said, well, we saw this hairy dude, and he told us you were going to die. They said, guy was hairy. That's Elijah. And so Elijah then leaves and goes and sits on a hill. Ahaziah then sends men to go, a captain of 50 and his men, to go get Elijah. And they come and say, come down, and we're going to take you back to the king. And he says, if I'm a man of God, fire is going to come down. And it did. Gone, all 50 of them. Ahaziah sends another captain of 50 and his men. Same thing. Elijah goes, if I'm a man of God, fire. Gone. So in answer to the quiz question, Mount Carmel, two captains and their men, three times. He called fire down from heaven. And then a third captain in his 50, and this guy comes and he's like, he immediately bows and says, I believe in God. I'm not after trying to hurt you. And Elijah goes with them, sees Ahaziah, and pronounces Ahaziah is going to die. And that's basically the story. Ahaziah dies. But that's just a summary. If we could just talk about the story, we're done. Time to go. But let's look at the passage. Let's look at the text and see what else we can gain from it. Verse 1, Moab rebelled against Israel. Now, King Ahab had conquered Moab. Now that Ahab is dead, they want to be out from under the thumb of Israel. So they start getting ruckus and starting to make a fuss. So this is the time period. This is the time here. This is what's happening. Now, during this time, it says, now Ahaziah fell through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria. Now, this is verse 2 of 2 Kings chapter 1. He fell through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and was injured, so he sent messengers and said to them, go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this injury. What does this tell us that Ahaziah has done here? What's that? He worships idols? Absolutely. He's completely turned his back on God. We know from the previous chapter there was at least Micaiah as a prophet of God. We know Elijah's around. He doesn't even bother to go to these guys. He has completely turned his back on God. So much so that I'm going to go talk to a pagan god on purpose. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise, go and meet the messenger of the king of Samaria, and say to them, 'It is because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron.'" Enter Elijah again. He always shows up with these commands. Go tell him this, go tell him that. Now the interesting phrase there, "because there is no God in Israel." Now God was in Israel. But Ahaziah was not promoting God. He was doing things counter to God. God was not what they focused on as their state religion. They were worshiping Baal again. Verse 4, "Now therefore thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed on which you have gone up, but you shall surely die." So that's what he was to tell Ahaziah. So Elijah departed. Again we see Elijah. Here's the command, and he moves immediately. Well, I don't need to go. I've preached on that specific, he moves immediately a couple times. We'll let that one go. And so he meets the messengers, verse 5, "And when the messengers returned to him, he said to them," this is Ahaziah said to them, "why have you come back?" So they said, "A man came up to meet us and said to us, 'Go return to the king who sent you and say to him, thus says the Lord, it is because there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. Therefore, you shall not come down from the bed which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.'" So they just transferred the message to Ahaziah. Then Ahaziah says, "Well, what kind of man," verse 7, "what kind of man was it who came up to meet you and told you these words?" So they answered, "A hairy man, wearing a leather belt around his waist." So he said, that's Elijah. It's Elijah the Tishbite. So he, Ahaziah, was probably on Carmel because Israel was there. He had seen Elijah. He knew who he was. He'd seen him call fire down from heaven before, know that he was the true God, and still we have him doing his own thing. Then the king, verse 9 here, "sent to him a captain of 50 with 50 of his men." So he went up to him, and there he was sitting on top of the hill. And he spoke to him, "Man of God, the king has said, 'Come down.'" Now, why would Ahaziah come to Elijah and say, "You, man of God, that's who you are, come down"? Because Ahaziah thought he ruled the land. God doesn't matter. You're a man of God, so what? I don't care. I'm in charge. You come to me. And the implication there is that with intent to harm Elijah, the thought is, if we kill him, it'll change what he's predicted. What a warped thought process. God doesn't change. If he said it, that's the way it is. But yet he sends these men out. In verse 10. So Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, "If I am a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Then he sent him another captain of 50 and his 50 men. And he answered and said to them, "Man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly." So Elijah said to them, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men." And fire of God came down from heaven and consumed his 50 men. Ahaziah was stubborn. He tried it twice after they were burned by fire from God. In fact, verse 13 says, again, he sent a third captain of his 50 with 50 men. So he was really stubborn. He didn't try it once. He tried it three times. Completely given up on God. Do we ever feel like we want to give up on God? I know I don't. Things are bad enough as it is. If I was to give up on God, how much worse could it get? I don't even want to think about it. Verse 13. And again he sent a third captain of 50 with his men. And the third captain of 50 went up. And this one, he either was a man of God or he got the picture that those two guys didn't do it right. But he fell on his face, fell on his knees before Elijah and pleaded with him. And he said, "Man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Look, fire has come down from heaven and burned up the first two captains of 50s and their 50s, with their 50s. But let my life now be precious in your sight." He got the picture that what was going on wasn't right. We got to change the plan. You know, when things just go terrible, we got to reevaluate, don't we? What do we have to change? Is God telling us it's time to change things? You're off base. Verse 15, "And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go down with him. Do not be afraid of him.' So he arose and went down with him to the king. Then he said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no god in Israel that you inquire of his word? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.'" So again, he comes without Elijah, without changing one word of it, gives God's message. God's message can't be altered. What's in the book is in the book, and it is the Word of God. Verse 17, so Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. Because he had no son, Jehoram became king in his place. Now this Jehoram was the second son of Ahab. And I clarify that because the verse continues, become king in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. So we have Israel and Judah, now with a king named Jehoram. Confusing, but that's the way it was. And the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So that's it. That's the story. But what is there in that for us? Couple things come to mind. Are we as stubborn as Ahaziah? We want to try and try and try and try and try and try until we wear ourselves out, trying to do what we think is best? Or do we counsel God early and rely on Him to show us where to go, what we should do? I said counsel God, counsel with God. Ahaziah is not an example we should follow. Here again, we've got Ahaziah. We've got Elijah, who moved when God said moved, said what God said say, was where he should have been. Called fire from heaven. What it would be like to have that kind of relationship with God. We aren't told much about Elijah's life. In fact, he's only in 6 chapters of the Bible. This powerful man is in 6 chapters of the Bible. But Elijah was truly a man of God. Always where God told him to be, except for that one little time when he ran, but he got back on track. Do we counsel with God? Do we rely on God no matter what? Elijah, several times in this passage, there's the phrase, but the angel of the Lord said to Elijah. And in verse 15, and the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, he was in constant communication with God. Are you? Am I? If we're not talking constantly with God, we might miss something. Something important. As simple as, don't do this, do that. God is always guiding our lives. But if we turn our backs on Him, we're not listening anymore. If we don't listen, we can't follow. It's my prayer today that each of us draw closer to God, day by day, as we walk. We do that by staying in the book and by talking to Him like He's our friend. Father, it's our prayer to draw nearer to You each moment. And as we draw nearer, we rely on You strong, heavier and heavier, so that nothing that we do is not what You want us to do. Father, please go with us now as we leave this place. Keep us safe and bring us back again together soon. In Jesus' name, amen.